And welcome back to yet another episode of the Tiltcast, episode 179, Facebush.
This week, Justin and I talk about Don't Starve, Dark Souls 2, and JRPGs. It's a hairy good time. Stay tuned.
Like a Wookiee.
And welcome back to yet another twosome.
Twosome?
Make it sound more
intimate.
How can you get more intimate than twosome?
Like, you know, when I'm with a girl, I'm not like, hey, let's go have a twosome. You know, like, that just makes it sound dirty. Like, there needs to be a little bit more romance involved with that statement than just twosome.
Let's face it, sir, I'm never getting romantic with you. It's always going to be down and dirty.
Well, I expect a reach around.
I'm sure you do, you hairy Wookiee.
Yeah, I'm kind of hairy. I'm not going to even lie about that. I keep growing the beard. I trimmed it, and then I was like, you know what? Screw it. There's a beard guy. Steve-O has a beard guy. And I tried going to get the beard guy to get my beard cut, and I found out there's a 5-day wait for the beard guy.
What?
Yeah. So this guy, there's a little shop. Oh, I can't remember what it's called. Anyways, there's a little shop here in town that's owned by a couple of dudes, and they do nothing but men's haircuts and men's beard cuts, and they're so backed up that they're like a 5-day wait.
Wow.
And it's not super expensive either. Like, I want to say beard trim or beard shaping or whatever, plus haircut is about $20-something dollars. And that's for both. I mean, you think about it, you can go to like a Top Cuts for like, what, $15 now or something crazy?
Yeah, something crazy like that.
You can get a quality haircut plus a beard trim for like $25. Which, especially if it's not like, you know, some beauty school, like, barely made it through girl that's just barely making a wage cutting hair. I'd rather have the dude that's really passionate about trimming beards trim my beard. Because then I know it'll have the shape of power.
So what you're saying is you want to try to turn your face bush into a sculpture.
I don't know how to call it a face bush.
Dude, that shit's like wiry. All right, come
episode
on.
Title, face bush.
Face bush.
We'll save that one. If you guys don't already know, like, that's half of how we come up with titles. It's just usually write them down, and I don't have a pen and paper, so now, he's typing. I can write it in my phone. Face bush. I like it.
It works.
That far in, and we already got a title.
And without Trent.
That's true. Yeah, speaking of Trent, so we ought to let the audience know what's going on.
Yeah,
we should. It hasn't really been clear as to what's going on with the cast. As you guys know, we have a stable, but our stable consists of a lot of people with busy lives and lots of, we're all adults and we all have a lot of responsibilities. Jason's just super reliable.
Yep.
And I appreciate the sacrifice that he does to at least make it in here with me to do the show. But, you know, Trent's got a lot of work going on, a lot of other things going on outside, and he's taking on more of a support role now. So it's not that he's not involved with the show, but Trent does a production role now. He just got some advertisement at a local convention that's going to be happening here soon.
Heck yeah, he did.
He's working on getting, he's doing the production on the side of actually producing the podcast and getting that done still. He helps us with getting all this stuff written. He helps us with getting the stupid pictures that we find. And then he's going to also help with writing some of the articles because we're going to be doing a lot more of that soon. Part of the problem with doing a show with a bunch of working guys, though, is we don't get paid for it. At a certain point, we plan on changing a little bit of that, but we're not, I mean,
We're not anywhere near that yet.
No, we're not a Giant Bomb or a Kotaku or a Polygon or anything like that. Like them or hate them, they're all big sites. You know, they're all sites that have been around for a long time with guys that have been doing it for a very long time.
And they're all sites that generate revenue just off of viewership and advertising. And we're just not there yet.
No, we're nowhere near that. You know, I'm an indie podcast dude like Jason, and it's, you know, I have...
We want this to be more.
Right, we do.
And we strive for it to be. But it's hard to make that happen when you gotta work a full-time job on top of it.
Right. You know, for the most part, I'd say 90% of what we review is something that we paid for out of our own blood, sweat, and tears. And we better, you know, that's why our reviews are so brutal sometimes. It's like, I paid a lot of money and this was garbage. Or I paid a lot of money and this was all right. Or I paid a lot of money and, man, this was really good. Like, something really has to justify the purchase at this point for me to really like it, which is why my reviews on the show are generally either really one way or the other. It's never very in between.
Yeah, no, you will not get later years G4 out of us. You will get gamer TV years out of us. You know?
Well, that's what we hope to do. And none of us are out to, like, I mean, me and Jason are not TV material.
No.
We are. You do not want to see our mugs all the time. You do not want to see...
No, no.
The Wookiee and the Golden Child.
I have a voice for radio, not a face to look at.
So, I mean, that being said, though, that's why we do what we do. That's why we do things the way we do, is it's very much a labor of love. And we want you guys to know that's we do this because we like doing it. Otherwise, we wouldn't be doing this every week. I wouldn't be on 170 episodes.
Amen.
So...
Yeah. And, you know, we wouldn't be as hard on games as we were if we didn't love it.
Right. Well, and that goes without saying. I mean, like, I'm in a little bit of a lull with Elder Scrolls Online. Yeah, I didn't rush through it to beat it to get to in-game content like somebody without a job could. Because, hey, there's not enough of a staff of us to devote one guy to one game for the whole time. There's me, and there's Jason, and there's Rusty that are more full-time. And Rusty's in finals week, so he's busy.
Yep.
You know, I... supervisor at a job that demands a lot out of me, so I have about 2 days to play as much as I can, and the other days I play about an hour a night.
Yeah, and Jason's had even less this semester just because course load.
Right, he's trying to get out of college quick.
Yeah, well, it's more to the fact that he chose all the courses that are going to force you to write papers.
All at the same time?
All at the same time, except for one online class, and even that, the work for it's like 4 hours long per chapter or whatever, so
that's crazy. So, and with that being said, though, I have played games, and I plan on playing more games. There's a couple games coming out next week that I plan on playing now. Child of Light came out. I didn't get a chance to do it, and I've been on the fence with it because I didn't know if I wanted to play as a little girl, because that's what you're playing. But it has that whole like hybrid Final Fantasy gameplay aspect to it.
I'm just
and the art in it looks really cool, and so like on that alone, like I really do like a game with a strong visual style. It seems to have that watercolor look to it, which seems cool.
I want a new Final Fantasy style of game, but that one scares me a little.
Well,
just a little.
We'll find out. Like I said, I'm going to play a little bit of it. There's Bound in Flame that just came out.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking to an employee today. Well, I was watching his group, and he's like, "Hey, did you pick up Bound in Flame yet?" And I was like, "Well, it don't come out yet." But I pretty much already forgotten about it and didn't know it was this week. Comes out this Friday. Me and Jason looked at a little bit of gameplay. I mean, it looks... I don't have any way of judging it, but I mean, it's not like I'm not playing a shitload of ARPGs anyway, so why not? Another ARPG.
Yeah, another ARPG. It seems like the last couple years are just the age of the ARPG.
It's kind
of
getting back to it. I mean, you got classic games like Gauntlet that were sort of an ARPG, you know? I mean, in a way, Diablo is basically an ARPG. It's just top-down. I'm playing, you know... fucking Dark Souls, obviously, super ARPG, or you got Dragon's Dogma, which is either loved or hated by a lot of people. I'm kind of in the middle with Dragon's Dogma. It's a really difficult game, and I think at the point where I'm at right now, it's only difficult because the health and the bosses is so much, or the base. Like, I was running into a troll, and the trolls in that game are really hard. They take increased fire damage. But to give you an example, so I went to the Dark Arisen side of things, this big-ass dungeon. It's really fucking hard. And I had beat the game, and I'm going towards this dungeon. And this troll literally took me 25 minutes to kill. He is a basic enemy in the game. I felt like I was under level, and I felt like I had to grind a little bit. I didn't like that aspect. Everything up to that point, though, I really liked. And then at some point, I just kind of fell off the map with that game because of that part of it. I can recommend that game up to that point, but like I love Dark Souls, but that's because it feels challenging but not too punishing. And I know some people think it's super punishing. It just there are actual strategies, like with sound. The combat is really sound, and I think that's what makes a good ARPG.
The whole
Souls trilogy so far. I mean, Demon Souls, Dark Souls, and Dark Souls 2 all have a very strong combat mechanic, which makes it work. And you don't have that. Like, Dragon's Dogma is really fast-paced. But the block mechanic in it doesn't work like Dark Souls. The parry mechanic doesn't work like Dark Souls. It is hack and slash. And what I mean by that is you don't have to combo as much in that game like you do in Dark Souls. It's all about very well-timed combos. And it's not combos like... So you recently played DMC. Yep. And DMC was all about like button combos. It wasn't about... Like, there is timing, but there are like movements like a Street Fighter game in a way.
Yeah.
To make things happen the way they do.
Well, that's what I was going to say. And I can see where the love-hate relationship is with it. Because I enjoyed what I played of it. But at the same time, it's...
My problem is more...
It has that classic ARGP feel.
Yeah.
But the combat has that very much Devil May Cry feel to it. And almost Devil May Cry 3 difficulty to it.
My problem was was not in the mechanics as much as it was, and it was Douchebag May Cry, and I didn't really like Dante in that game at all. Just that's a whole different thing that had nothing to do with the gameplay.
Nope. Gameplay otherwise was solid, fairly.
But there's all the juggling combos and things like that. Dark Souls doesn't rely on juggling; it relies on timed parries.
Yeah.
Good blocking, good block breaking, things like that. And once you get the mechanics of that and learn how to roll and things like that. It's a difficult game, but it's a precise game, and that's what I like about it.
But it is so much smoother in Dark Souls 2.
Yeah, I know.
Much smoother.
Dark Souls 2 is pretty sweet.
People
know we like that game.
Your depth of feel in Dark Souls 2 is so much more improved over 1, just when it comes to a combat.
Oh, I know. I thought you meant depth of field. You mean that...
No, depth of feel. In other words, it's a whole lot easier to tell when something's at your back, even if it's on off screen. Yeah, it's a whole lot easier to feel whether or not it's coming back around or what have you. Dark Souls 1, it got kind of difficult for that, especially when you got into some of the bigger mobs.
A lot of the combat in the game is just so precise. I've been playing that too. I had to put it down for a little bit, and most of it's because, like, I'm playing it on PC and I'm playing through the same stuff I did before, so it wasn't shiny enough right now, and I knew the shiny was going to take a while to get to, so I could play for the whole 2 days and do Dark Souls.
You know, shiny is only a few mods away. Come on, people, make mods.
Well, the only mod I ever did was the... Remember, I saw a meme on NeoGAF, and it was a NeoGAF user, Durante, made a mod that increased the graphics on Dark Souls 1 and just made it look a lot better on PC. It cleaned up a lot of the textures, and it was just it was the way that it processed graphics. That's all it had to do. It was a script that you installed in the game, and you installed it in like the INI file, I believe, something like that. It was something really basic, and it just handled rendering slightly differently and added better shadows. And it made a world of difference on how that game looked.
I didn't do any other mods.
Yeah.
Well, that's exactly how I modded Knights of the Old Republic. When I modded it to up-res the textures. Well, after I inserted the textures, I had to mod it to run the graphics different.
Well,
because if you didn't, it just balked.
Well, and that's the thing, though, there wasn't even any textures you had to load. It just changed
But that's the same kind of switch I was running. It's all in how the card handles the rendering for the textures. It's all how it processes it. So it can either smooth it out, which in the case of Dark Souls is exactly what it did for you. Just smoothed everything out, made it run cleaner than the original script. And that's all you're looking at.
Well, and that aside, though, it's kind of like there's a lot of ARPGs coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of just, I'm a little bit iffy. I mean, there was Lords of the Fallen. I saw another trailer for that. That's to be announced. But then Bound in Flame, which looks like it's a lot of slow-mo stuff. It kind of felt like, Dragons, what the fuck am I thinking? Inquisition's coming out. Dragon Age, yeah. Just had a dumb moment there. Dragon Age. Dragon Age 2, the combat was very quick.
Yes, it was.
And that's Bound in Flame kind of looks like that, and I'm kind of interested to see how it plays out. It looked interesting.
It does. Though it looks like the some of the aspects for it, like the stealth, some of two-handed felt a little, looked a little bit more Skyrim-ish.
Yeah, better third-person Skyrim. Skyrim third-person is kind of garbage, I'm not going to lie. It looks goofy, except for the magic. Magic seems to look okay. There's a lot of mods out there that help improve the animation for third-person. I still prefer to play that in first-person. Even when I'm playing Elder Scrolls Online, I will do third-person occasionally. But if I have a choice, I will do first-person. If there's not enough... a lot of situational awareness that I have to have in that game, then I will go first person.
Only time I did third person was stealth. Complete stealth. And that's just because it was easier for your situational awareness to be third person in that game.
But yeah, Bound in Flame looks pretty cool. Like I said, I have no idea how that game's going to play or if it's going to be garbage or not. But
appears solid.
Appears to be cool. So, but you know, like I said, I mean, people are looking at Dark Souls being the indie hit that just kind of came out of nowhere, because there wasn't a lot of people playing Demon Souls. I know way back when I was watching John play Demon Souls, John from Carousel, and he's like, "Hey, I'm playing this game and it's really, really hard." And I was watching him just get his ass whooped over and over and over again on the ramparts, and I was like, "Man, I don't know if I want to play that." He's like, "You should just give it a shot sometime." So he loaned it to me, and then I just took it back to him and I bought it. And I didn't beat it. I really felt like that game was really, really difficult. I need to go back and beat it just because I really like that game. But it is an extremely difficult game. And I feel like it's harder than Dark Souls. I feel like the boss fights are way more precise than anything Dark Souls had to offer. But Dark Souls was harder on the levels and the actual enemies going through to the boss. The bosses, to me, they got big tells and it's not that bad. And I was explaining that to a buddy of mine up at work, Izzy. He was saying, because he did a speed run of Demon Souls, posted it on YouTube, and I guess him and his brother are kind of really hardcore ARPG gamers. He's beat fucking Dark Arisen already, and he's a really hardcore gamer. And I loaned him Dark Souls. Excuse me, I loaned him Dark Souls the other day, and he had a 3-day weekend. He talked to me the last Saturday, and he's like, "Dude," he's like, "I thought this game would be so much harder." He's like, "I've gone up against the bosses and the tells are there." And he's like, after I figured out the tells, he's like, "I played for about 2 hours and then my brother took over for about 6 hours and got a big chunk of the game out of the way. And then I took it back and then I played it for 12 hours straight." And he's like, "I'm almost all the way to the end." He did the Fat Boy and Slim fight his second try.
What?
Yeah.
That took me five.
Yeah.
Four or five.
It took me a month. And... yeah, did the Fat Boy. The Fat Boy and Slim fight, for those that are not familiar, is there's a fight in that game where you have a guy, skinny guy. I call it Fat Boy and Slim. I don't know if that's what it's called, but it's Ornstein and something. But anyways, you have a guy that's got a spear that has lightning damage, and he's really, really fast, and you have this guy that's really, really fat, and he's got a big hammer, and he's got really big tells. And the skinny guy, it's easy to go around, and they're both attacking you at the same time. It's easy to go to the fat guy, kill him first, and then work on the skinny guy. But the skinny guy then gets more powerful and hits way harder. He hits like a truck, and then he's still fast. And if you beat the skinny guy first, if you can manage to wrangle him and get him taken down, the fat guy gets more powerful, but he's still slow. So,
and slow means manageable.
Yeah, slow means you can get around him and dodge a lot and then get in and make those quick hits. And after I figured out the mechanic finally, because I didn't want to watch a video because I was too stubborn, I got it pretty quickly. There's a fight in Dark Souls 2, which is three guys with really long skinny arms and hammers on the end of them. And they got a platform you start out off on. As soon as you get out there on the platform, you get attacked by this guy. And he's got hella reach, and he takes down a shitload of stamina if you don't have good poise. So every time he hits you, he takes you for most of your stamina. If you don't roll the next attack, you get hit. Again, going through the second time, I got a fairly high dex, high strength character. Dual wielding, I dodged all those attacks, and I took that guy down in about 15 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And learning that mechanic, hey, I could do this if I learn how to dodge this right. I get in there and just whoop ass, and then I took out all three of those guys in a fairly short amount of time. First time through, it took me 15 tries, to figure that out, because I kept trying to block everything. It was a sorcerer. It was a dumb idea. I didn't have enough stamina to do that kind of mess. But, yeah, enough about Dark Souls. I mean, we're going to continue to talk about it because I'm going to continue to play it, but I'm going to play it in bits because I know it's a long game. And there are other things coming out, so... Like I said, other things coming out that are manageable enough that I can continue to play it and continue to beat it as I go through, whereas Dark Souls is not that game where... It's not very often that I can go and jump in that game and just like, all right, in 3 hours, I'm going to clear like 6 bosses. Because that doesn't always happen.
Well, and then you got to remember, you're going to have Rusty want to start ESO up sometime next week.
Shit.
Yep.
Well, that means I'm going to be playing a lot of game. So, that's another thing. I will be playing more ESO, obviously.
Yes.
I got a tank to level up. He's got a healer to level up. So we can get some group going on. But, so all that aside, though, I've been playing a lot of a game called Don't Starve. I started to talk about it a little bit last week. I was playing Reign of Giants. I finally figured out this is the way to get good at that game. It took me a really long time. I'm 55 hours of gameplay into that game. It's a roguelike survival game.
Yep.
Unlockable characters, and essentially what it is you get in the game and you got to pick all these different plants up and basically these different reagents for craftable items so that you can survive. So you start off picking up a lot of grass, and it's 2D but isometric, so it's a 2D isometric game where you're trying to grab items to collect out in this, basically this world, and collect all this grass, because grass makes torches, grass makes sleeping bags, grass makes all sorts of things, grass makes ropes, makes rope, then you pick up a lot of twigs, and you use the twigs to make craftable tools. So you go out and you collect grass and twigs like all day your first day, and while you're doing it you grab food along the way. So you see berry bushes, you collect the berries, and then you make an axe and you chop down a couple of trees to give you enough firewood. But you don't craft the fire the first night, and you use it to cook all the food that you created. And then the second night you go around looking for a pig village. Pigs in the game are not friendly unless you give them monster meat. So also you'll find a king pig in one of these pig villages and it gives you a lot of gold. So, I kind of parsed this out a little bit. Basically, what I did is I learned to find the village first. So, I went surveying the whole map to find out where the different things are. And there's different biomes. So, you got a desert biome, which was just recently added. You have plains. You have forest. You have, like, really nice spring forest. And you have swamp. And then you have, like, a boss area. And anyways... And then you have, like, a waygate. The waygate takes you to a RPG element of the game, which I've never really been able to unlock. And then you have caves. I haven't done a lot of cave exploring because I've been working on surviving. Anyways, it also goes through the four seasons. So you start off in either autumn or spring, and then you'll either progress to summer or winter. And then you have to survive winter, and you have to survive summer. So it's all got this weird, like, kind of Tim Burton-esque aesthetic to it. And I'm not a big lover of Tim Burton, but I am a big lover of some of the art design and stuff like James and the Giant Peach, Nightmare Before Christmas, and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Kind of think he's a giant douchebag nowadays, but the art style in a lot of the animated stuff he did was really cool. And that's what all the character design looks like. That's what the world design looks like. It has this really weird kind of, like, almost 1800s, like, I don't want to say 1800s, almost like fairy tale in an old school, like, Brothers Grimm kind of way. Is how it all feels. That's all a little bit cartoony. And so you're surviving this whole time, and you're going to look and find out where the different areas are, because you need to find stones to create your science machine, to create your alchemy machine, create these other things. And at a certain point, you'll find a stone, and the stone is like a sacrifice slab. And if you'll, like, pray to the god at the sacrifice slab, if you die, because you only get one life, it'll resurrect you there, but your sanity will be down. So there's things that you have to manage. You have to manage your sanity, your hunger, and your health. What happens is once your sanity hits, like... Though different characters have different sanity levels, but once your sanity hits about 50, things start to look crazy. Your perception of the world is skewed, and it's hard, kind of hard to find things. Once your sanity gets below, like, 20, shapes in the darkness start to attack you.
Ooh.
if your sanity's at, so you have these like crazy night creatures that will attack you even during the day. The shadows will chase you around and damage you, and you can hit them, they disappear for a second, they come back. You have to fix your sanity or you're dead. There's also different things in the middle of the day or the night, depending on where you are in the game, that'll come attack you. So you have like hellhounds that come and attack you, regardless if it's day or night. The hellhounds are, I don't know if they call them, I think they just call them hounds, but they're like hellhounds. And you'll hear them start barking, and then they'll come in like twos and start attacking you until you die. You also have different creatures that spawn based on how you've been surviving in the wild. So if I'm cutting a bunch of trees, this big tree monster comes around and he will attack you, and he is hard as fuck to kill. So the idea is to befriend the pigs. If you befriend the pigs will fight for you. You befriend the pigs by giving them monster meat. So if you kill spiders, they drop monster meat. If you kill the mermen, they drop monster meat. But if you eat monster meat, it lowers your sanity and it makes you, you lose health. But you can mix it in with different foods to create like power foods, basically. So there are uses for monster meat, but most of the time it's to feed the pigs to make them fight for you for a day or harvest with you. And what they'll do is basically whatever you're doing, so if you're attacking, they'll attack. If you're chopping down trees, they'll chop down trees. So yeah, you get attacked by a tree monster. If I kill a bunch of rabbits, so rabbits are a source of food, you can create little traps and put them by their holes, and then they pop out, they'll go in the trap, and then you... It says murder. When you put them in your inventory, you can murder the rabbit, snap its neck, and then use it for food. If you murder a shitload of rabbits, then a Krampus comes along, and the Krampus comes around and will steal your shit and wreck your camp. And will also try to kill you. I don't know what spawned it, but I had something called a Deerclop spawn. And the Deerclops came by, and like the whole world started to shake. And he trashed my whole camp. He didn't steal anything, but he trashed my whole camp. He killed all the creatures around me, and then he tried to kill me, like hardcore tried to kill me. And I had to run for a long time before I got away from him. The problem is, I'm trying to run in the dark, so I have to light torches, because if you're in the dark, you get killed by the Gru, and the Gru will, like, you'll hear noises, and then you'll start taking damage, and he's basically killing you in the dark. But the Gru, when your sanity goes low, you'll see, like, these fingers and hands come out of the dark and reach over your campfire and knock it down a level of brightness until, like, if you have already a low campfire, it'll make it pitch black. If you have a fairly bright campfire, it'll knock it down a level to where it's a lot darker and your circle of light is a lot smaller. So, but yeah, it's a weird ass game, and it's free right now on PSN Network for PSN subscribers for on a PS4. So you can't get it on Reign of Giants because it's not out for PS4 yet, but it is on PC as a free edition, or it was $3.99 to upgrade my game. And that added a bunch of extra monsters for the hardcore, the harder side of the game. But there's a lot more to the game. So, like, for a long time, I could never get past, like, day 18, which is about an hour and a half in the game. And it's a roguelike, so it always spawns a different level every time, with different creatures and different layouts and things like that. But I get to day 18, I get to winter, and I wouldn't have saved enough food to make it through the winter. And your food starts to spoil, so you got to create a fridge, which you got to get an alchemy machine to make, and that kind of helps your food slow and spoiling. But once, and then you can farm, and etc., so it turns into this really psychotic Farmville episode of trying to find poop to fertilize your farm, to get seeds to grow, and to fertilize your berry bushes. So you got to go to these things called beefalo, and beefalo is basically a buffalo that is called a beefalo because you can harvest it for meat or harvest it for poop. And really, harvesting it for poop is the best way because the poop fertilizes your crops. And
I'm sorry, I just don't want harvest poop.
Well, you harvest a lot of poop, and poop becomes pretty useful. But the beefalo herd's also a really good thing to have by your base, so I could have a little farm crop or farm plot going on and a little base going on by the beefalo, and if I get attacked by the hounds, as long as the beefalo are not in mating season, and you can know in their mating season because their butts turn pink, and they get really aggressive, but if they're not in mating season, I can run to the middle of the herd, and if the hounds go in there and start to attack me, the beefalo will actually defend me. So if you keep them close enough to your base, if you know you're about to get attacked and you hear the hounds, then you can run in the beefalo herd. You can also create a trap of what they call, like, tooth traps. And it's these weird tentacle things that spring up out of the ground and shoot tentacle spikes all over the place. And it's like they're spring-loaded or something. You can plant those by getting the hound tooth and then something else. I can't remember. But anyways, so yeah, different. It's a weird-ass game. Like, it's a really weird-ass game with a very distinct art style. So weird-ass that I went ahead and decided to order one of the characters from the store. They give you, it's a random selection of 12. It's like character in a box for like $12.99. I was like, you know what? He's going to sit at my desk at work. I don't care. Nobody's going to know what the fuck this is. So, but yeah, weird nice. Game. I really enjoy it. And I finally made it to like day 65, I want to say. Made it all the way into summer. And summer's really fucking hard. So the challenge in winter is you got to stay warm. And which means that you have to craft warm clothes. Warm clothes are, by murdering rabbits, you can get earmuffs. And you can also make a jacket out of like moles and something else. I can't remember. But yeah, you can create a jacket and then get the earmuffs. And then you can carry a hot rock around. So the hot rock you warm by fire, it gets like glowing red. And then you're, if you see it's glowing red, then you know that you're warm. What'll happen though is as you go around the world, the rock cools down. And if you are cold, then your screen starts to crack. So, like, your image of the world and your character starts to crack, and it starts to get cold, and you start to lose health. And then also your sanity starts to drop. So, obviously, you don't want your sanity to drop. Sanity's kind of hard to get back. You pick flowers to get your sanity back. You wear a flower, like a flower helmet, to help keep your sanity. Eating certain foods help your sanity if you're making really complex foods. But that part's a little bit weird. Also, things like rain. Like, there's rainy season, so, like, if you start in spring, it's going to rain all the time. Your food spoils faster. You get soaked. And as you get soaked, your sanity starts to drop. And things start to ruin. Like, if I'm cooking stuff and I leave it out for the day, then it gets soaked and it gets ruined. So you have to either manage that or go out and forage. Which, again, getting to the point where you're self-sustaining is really what you want to do. Because then through winter, none of your crops grow. And you have to rely on everything you've stored for like 10 days or 15 days through winter. Then once you hit summer, you start to overheat. So plants die. The plants start to wither, and some of them catch fire. And if they catch fire, then the rest of your shit can catch fire.
And you need to strip off your clothes and drink water.
It's not even the water, because you don't have to really drink anything, which is kind of weird. Being a survival game, you just eat. But one of the things you can do is you can craft an ice cube helmet. It's this big-ass ice block that you put on your head. It raises the water level in you, which also lowers your sanity, but it keeps the heat from killing you. So you get this big ice block helmet on your head while the sun's melting it. And you have to have saved ice cubes from the winter in your refrigerator in order for that to even work, because there's no ice cubes in summer. They've all melted away. But, yeah, winter's got really short days and really long nights, whereas summer has really, really, really long days and very short nights. And the night's the only time you can really do anything. But which means you also have to be by your fire or have a torch. Torches run out. So, like, it's an extremely punishing and hardcore game. And then there's this whole thing about spelunking where you can go down into the caves. But only certain things grow down there. And, like, the mushrooms you eat all lower your sanity. So that can make for a really weird game if you're down in the caves. But, yeah, Don't Starve is a really interesting game. I think at this point, it's going to go into games that I just really like. It's really not for everybody because it is so hard and the learning curve is so steep. But, you know, it's just like if you're playing FTL. I mean, FTL, you only have one life. But I think it's considerably easy to get to the last couple of levels in FTL, whereas Don't Starve, I've never seen the end of the game. Apparently, there's this whole part you can go spelunking and live for days in the caves. And then you can also go to, you find this, they call it like a Maxwell door or something like that. And he's the guy that drops you off into this world to not starve. And if you go into his thing, you've got a series of 5 challenges you've got to survive. Based on the things, you can only carry whatever's on you or something like that.
So it turns from Don't Starve to Don't Die?
Just basically Don't Die. So at that point, you want to have like better weapons and armor. Because there is armor. Like, I had a marble suit that I was wearing, which slows me down, but like negates a big chunk of damage. So I had that. It puts me at half speed, but then I'm fairly high defense. So I can take a lot of hits before I start to die. But, yeah, it's weird. I mean, there's not a shitload of craftable weapons. Like, there's a magic stave that does range damage you have, but it only has, like, 10 shots, you know. And then you got, like, the spear, and then you got your axe, and I don't think there's any other weapons aside from that. But overall, it's a weird game. But I really like this weird game. Because it's adult enough to be weird and twisted in a good way. And the other thing I should mention that just does give it a bit of charm, all the sound effects are all music. Like an old cartoon.
Nice.
So everything is done with classical instruments. As well as having a very classical soundtrack. No, so I may show you some gameplay during the break, but
harken back to Looney Tunes days.
Yeah, just a really fucked up Looney Tunes.
Hey, some of the best games in history have been weird. Just saying.
So, with that being said, that's really most of what I played. Like I said, Shadow Light's on my radar. That'll be something I pick up and play.
Yeah.
I need to get through Dark Souls before I hit ESO, but there's such a low amount of people that have actually beaten Dark Souls 2 that I still feel like...
You're doing all right. Yeah, I got to put more time into it.
I've almost beat it on Xbox, but...
I got to get through all those starting miss gates. I got through like 4 of them.
Yeah, where are you at right now?
Oh, I'm still in the starting area.
I know, but so like you start off in Magilla, which is like your basic home camp. Yeah. Where did you go from there?
Oh, I haven't even made it out of Magilla yet. That's okay. How little I've gotten to play so far.
You made it through the tutorial.
Pretty much.
That's fair. Well, which is good for the mechanics, but there are some things in there. Like I said, you need to watch a video on parrying.
There were...
Because it doesn't teach you how to parry in that. It doesn't teach you how to shield break. And you need to learn how to break somebody's block. That.
But...
And then I wouldn't hurt anything to...
They definitely made this game to stand alone from Dark Souls, because...
It's really just the same thing.
I'm going through this starting area, and I'm like, yeah. Yeah. Oh, look. I killed something. Woo! Yeah. But, yeah, it's good. I just wish I'd gotten more into it last week.
Yeah,
just no time. Most game I played was Gauntlet.
Yeah, we had a really good Gauntlet.
We did.
It was me, you, Trent, Ian, and who was our last one?
Ren,
that's right. Yeah, Ren.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got stuck on what? Wave 46?
48.
Was it 48?
It was 48, dude. We were that close.
Oh.
We were that close this time.
I kind of want to play that again this weekend.
I know, right? Hey, dude, if you're up for it, I'm up for it.
Yeah, maybe we will. Just impromptu.
Just and try to start it right.
I've never looked at any guides or anything, but looking at some of the things that I would... Because I've played a lot of that game.
Like, and it doesn't track... never hit 50.
I've never hit 50. And a lot of it says to, like, the first 20 waves to not spend any money on anything other than ammo. Save that money. And I can see why, because then... think about how much money we waste repairing barriers.
I'm almost all for... spending money on everything, on nothing but ammo through 25.
And that way that we have...
And trying to push it.
And then after wave 25, or after we hit that boss wave, we pour all that money into a really badass base.
Yeah.
And then have the fucking mech.
Yeah. Because at this point, I can see the Simeon being the only way to...
A Simeon?
Or, you know what I mean. But
the ape.
I
know what you're talking about, the mech.
I can see that's the only way to get through the later boss waves, because
we were
getting our shit tore up on 40.
Well, the problem is we had no money for defenses whatsoever.
Yeah.
At that point, our defense had been wiped out. We'd spent, like, we looked at total cash earned, like, I'd earned $170,000 or something crazy like that.
And we couldn't get enough money to buy a couple barriers.
I know. Yeah, it'd be nice to do that. I really, like, that's probably one of my favorite games of
just
all time.
Just because I have never seen the end of a horde wave, ever.
Never seen the end of a horde wave, either. Whatever that is.
Need to see the end of Horde.
I do too. I want to be able to play it on a hard mode at some point. I want to get better at it. And we always play it in spurts. It's always like a gauntlet thing. We do it every few months, and then we get all the way up to like wave 40 something, and it's like, it's 2:30 in the morning.
Somebody drops out, or we get stuck like we did.
Well, because we started wave 40 at midnight.
Yeah.
After playing it for about a little over an hour and a half.
Yeah.
And then that's when it petered out. Wave 40 through 46 was a 2.5 hour slog.
We just died. And died. And died again. It It was ridiculous.
Yeah, at that point you have to have some badass defenses because we were just getting overrun. It'd be nice to be able to hide behind a good barricade and just fight.
Yes.
And go out and grab ammo occasionally.
Well, like, the map we were on was the one with the church. I can't ever remember the name of it.
I know what you're talking about. Well, obviously I know what you're talking about.
If we had saved money and had the money to just barricade that one bitch up, we could have created a freaking shooting gallery galore.
Yeah, and just had the money, and then just use the extra money to repair the front barriers.
Yeah.
Because it has the auto turret. Hell, you can even expand out from there.
Yeah. And have the big turret.
Makes me want to watch a couple of videos when we're done on somebody who's just hardcore with that.
Yeah.
But I watched one where somebody was beating, like, they started on wave 40, because you can start at any wave you want.
Yeah.
And those guys ran through that to the very end. I want to say the whole video for those last 10 waves was 30 minutes. But these guys were just badasses. Like, they were just running, gunning back and forth down that one that's just a street. And they didn't have hardly anything barricaded. It's just these guys really knew the game.
Yeah.
And I'm just not that good at it.
Well, I mean, we're good, but we're not headshots all the time good.
Well, it's like we kept getting the Lambent Berserker. And for those of you guys that have played Gears 3, the Lambent Berserker is the one that's vulnerable to all damage except for the chest.
With all the freaking tentacles.
Yeah, the jumps. And it got down to me, and I just got him hung up on that wall. And somebody said, buy the mortar. And I was like, he can't get up here. And I was like, yeah, I think I will buy the mortar. I got just barely enough. Then I got the mortar after running around for 5 minutes, just running around like my hair was on fire.
And it still took 3 mortar shots.
Yeah, I know. It still took 3 mortar shots to kill the bastard. But he got hung up on the wall, and I remember watching him there with Ren. The last time we got him, we took him down. It was the same exact way.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, I think this will work. So, I don't know. That game, though, is pretty solid.
It is.
It still looks pretty good, too. Like, it's not... Like, you think about a game that came out in 2011. I know that doesn't seem like that long ago, but it kind of was. I mean, it's kind of 3 years ago at this point.
Yeah.
And it's
Speaking of which, weren't we thinking about doing Halo 4 for the next Gauntlet just to change up a little?
Yeah, we will be. So we will be doing that for our next Gauntlet, which will be the first week or the first weekend of June.
Of June. So give people plenty of time because you can still get it fairly cheap. So that's June 7th.
Is that the first weekend?
That's the first Saturday. Yep.
Yeah, so we'll definitely...
We'll be playing Halo 4.
Oh, yeah. I'm looking at July.
Yeah.
June 7th. Okay. We'll put it on the Google Calendar, so if you go to the website at tiltcast.com, you can see when that stuff is.
It'll be there.
And we have, if you're looking for information, because that's kind of how we're doing it now, if you go to the Google Calendar, it shows our screen names, so you know how to find us.
Yep.
So, that'll be one thing we'll be doing. But other than that...
Okay. And everybody can add me as a friend on Xbox, because I don't have any of you there. So.
So, I don't know, do we want to take a break?
You know, I was thinking, just because it brings up interesting conversation. So, the last question we had was episode previous.
True.
Was what games haven't we talked about that you would like to hear about? And our only response to the question was from them. Said, how about genre, such as JRPGs and why more people need to play them.
I think we actually had another response too on the Facebook.
I was trying to find it and I could not.
I want to say Ren responded to it.
I think it was just a bunch of likes.
Well, I'm going to look it up as we're talking about it.
But to speak to that, Nip, I can understand where your question comes from. At the same time, let's look at recent history when it comes to Japanese RPGs. The Western world has been doing it so much better, story-wise and gameplay-wise, than the Japanese developers have in recent years. Sure, they had their heyday with Dragon Quest with a lot of the early Dragon's Quest titles and.
Well, you think about the Final Fantasy stuff, though,
and
too.
Final Fantasy and. Yeah, but even Final Fantasy, the last few years, it's just been. You know, really, since 10, it seems like it's been a struggle for them to put together some kind of story. You know, none of it makes sense. Let's face it, the characters blow. I haven't seen a good Final Fantasy character since 10.
Yeah, I liked people gonna hate on me for this. I liked Final Fantasy 12.
I am gonna hate on you a little bit for that.
I liked it a little bit. Now, has it been a minute? Yeah, I don't know. I'm not real big on it. Is all I'm gonna say for the most part.
Well, when you look at it,
as far as Final Fantasy games, compared to some of the other ones and what was coming out at the time, it wasn't that bad, but it wasn't 10.
No. Wasn't 10, wasn't 7, wasn't 8. Yeah. Wasn't 1, 2, and 3.
I picked the remake of 10 up. I just haven't played it yet. I knew how much of a time sink it would be, and that's why I didn't mess with it. Yeah, I guess I must have just made that up. I don't see that response.
No. No, there was a response on Facebook. It was from Holly.
What'd she say?
She said Dark Souls.
Oh, of course she said Dark Souls.
And, and promptly there was a fairly funny Tiltcast response, because we all know Holly does not like Dark Souls.
That's true. We've made that abundantly clear. Or she has.
But... you know, when it comes down to it, man, until they really... I can't say more people need to play anything current. I definitely agree with going back and playing more older Japanese RPGs.
You know, to Nim's question...
back to the root.
Give me some suggestions. I'll play one. Yeah. If you give me a suggestion, I'll play one and I'll talk about it. I have faith in your choice in games. The things that I like is I like stuff that doesn't feel very pedophilic.
Yes.
So...
or hentai-ish.
That's what I'm getting at. Like, as raunchy as I could be on this show, like, I feel like it happens more on the eastern side of the world than it does here, but it feels like to me... I'm not going to overgeneralize, but... even you that like anime have to realize that, like, the whole schoolgirl thing is really big in Japan. The whole, like, making young girls and old girls all look the same with just big tits.
Yep.
Is kind of the same, and it feels very rapey, I guess.
And whoever doesn't realize that, just go watch something like Bleach. Something that's fairly popular here in America. Just, like, watch a whole season of it. You'll see what Justin's talking about.
It just makes me feel awkward, I guess. I tend to get girls a lot closer to my age anyway. So, or even sometimes older than me. And, like, I just don't get into kids. And...
yeah, no.
Like, I don't even... like, I'm in my 30s and I don't even really date girls in my 20s. Or in their 20s. Even when I was 20s, I always dated girls that were my age or slightly older.
I can't even stand to hang out with girls in their 20s, much less date them.
And I don't want to hate on them too much. It's nothing personal. It's just I'm at a different place in life. And I don't find the little girl look to be attractive in the least. I guess part of it, too, is like I have a bunch of female cousins and I've always been really overprotective. And even my cousins that are like 10 years younger than me, always been really overprotective, and I guess that part of me just clicks when I see like the over-sexualization of somebody that looks so young that just kind of feels dirty and gross to me.
Well, there's
like, even the
too.
Whole like Miley Cyrus thing kind of grosses me out.
Yeah,
I'm again as dirty as I can be, and as coarse as I can be. Like there are things that to me are kind of universal taboo, and that's kind of where I put some of that stuff.
Well, it's not only that; it's if you look at our generation, and let's face it, you and I are pretty much at the back end of a generation. The newer generation, just the gap between us and them is much larger than it was like with us and our parents.
Or hell, even people just slightly older than me, like Scott, like our generations are fairly similar.
Yeah.
I'm not as big into the Rocky Horror Picture thing as his generation was, but like, it's not that far a leap from the stuff that I was into growing up.
Yeah, well, we're 80s kids, not 70s kids, you know.
Well, right. I mean, Scott was a teenager in the 80s where I was a child.
Yeah.
So that's the big difference.
Exactly. You know, but the gap in things we like is so much different. I mean, sure, there are video games everybody melts into.
Well, yeah, but
and that's one of the great things about gaming culture, but everything else is so different.
Well, it's like I was being slightly snobbish on my Facebook the other day, and I kind of wanted to see what generation of people I knew in general. I just wanted to get a poll, and I threw up something. I said Aphex Twin versus Skrillex, go. And I had some people that posted that they really liked Skrillex, and then I had some people that posted, I'm glad you said something about Aphex Twin. And the difference is Come to Daddy versus Everything with a Breakdown. So, like, and I'm not going to hate on you if you like Skrillex, because Holly likes Skrillex and we're friends. And some of my friends like Skrillex and I'm friends too, because I'm not defined by my music anymore. But it's funny to see, like, I'm going to back this up. So there's a big difference generationally with our, we're getting back to what we were talking about before, whereas in the 80s and the 90s, like, you had the big bands. I say big bands. You had bands like Nirvana and Stone Temple Pilots that were good but not douchey.
Yeah.
And then you had the Nickelbacks that got douchier. Yeah. And now you have stuff I can't even fucking name because I don't really listen to it anymore.
Yeah.
But then you had, like, the birth of the indie generation, the birth of online music, like the birth of MP3.
Yep.
And people started being able to download music, and that's when things changed, because you didn't hear about stuff on the radio anymore. You didn't read about music in a magazine. You didn't get stuff on a sampler CD. Your buddy told you about it. You went to SoulSeek, or you went to BearShare, or you went to something like that, and you grabbed it.
You didn't sit around your radio anymore to record songs that you liked.
Well, it was we didn't really have an indie generation at all. And now the indie stuff is starting to all sound the same because they know what sells. And I think part of that is the delivery system in music. So nowadays you have iTunes and you have Google Play and things like that. You have different places. You got the fucking Amazon store for MP3s. And it's so easy to just download something.
Yeah.
And pay $8.99 for an album and just listen to it that way.
Yeah.
Or it's so easy for a college kid to go and just download something, pirate something, check it out, and see if he likes it or not, or just share his friend's MP3s.
Yeah.
Where it wasn't like that when we were a kid, because you'd had to hear it somewhere. Yeah. Or you had to go to the music store and listen to it, and that's, we don't have music stores anymore.
No.
And we do, but it's few and far between.
Yeah. It's, I mean, all the FYEs are dead,
Well, Starship, a big music store here in town, like, it's even starting to dwindle because everybody buys everything online.
Yeah. The only reason Vintage Duck still has albums is just because
they sell so much other shit.
Yeah.
So you have, like, that's, it's such a difference in the way things are done. So, like, nowadays you have a lot of stuff that sounds the same, but you have all a shitload of subgenres. And everybody's into a subgenre of something, you know, that they gotta identify with. So you always have,
but, you know, and then shoot, ask, you know, you can even go and ask, like, even Motorhead or Godsmack, and it's like people will look at you funny because they haven't hardly ever heard of Motorhead.
Well, I fucking love Motorhead, so like it's easy for me because I grew up with Motorhead. It's Motorhead, Metallica, exactly. Megadeth, and Slayer, or something punk rock like the Dead Kennedys. So, you know, like for me, like there were very clear lines in defining what music was when I was younger.
Yeah.
Whereas everything now is just subgenres of subgenres of subgenres of subgenres. And subgenres are like, you have five bands that sound exactly the same, and you have another five bands that sound exactly the same. And they all have these huge cult followings of kids in their late teens or early 20s. And you get goats on my fucking nerves.
You know who we can blame that on? And it's not so much the, because MTV did really phase out music videos. But TRL. I blame TRL for a lot of it.
What do you blame TRL?
You know, MTV's Toll Request Live?
Yeah.
I blame TRL for a lot of this. Because if you notice, the douchiness section of Nickelback and the alright section that was like POD and Linkin Park and those were all the subgenres were perpetuated by it.
Well,
it was all over the place. Late 90s, early 2000s. That's all there was.
Yeah, but to a certain extent, like, music started to branch out in the 2000s. Like, you had a shitload of bands that all sounded either fairly samey or you had fairly different. I mean, you had the Dinosaur Juniors, which nobody sounded like Dinosaur Jr. You had STP, which Soundgarden and Pearl Jam all kind of sound samey to me, but in better ways. And then you had Nickelback, which was just like the garbage section of like all the C-sides of like fucking Pearl Jam.
Yeah.
So I was never a big Eddie Vedder fan, but or not Eddie Vedder. It is Eddie Vedder. Yeah, it's Eddie Vedder, right? Pearl Jam.
Hang on.
I'm getting him mixed. Yeah, it's Eddie Vedder.
Anyways, yeah, it is.
But you had like I was never a big Pearl Jam fan, but like I could respect the fact that they sounded decent.
Yes.
You know, I don't know. I'm going to go off on a rant because then I'm going to talk about how much I hate Dave Matthews. But because I really hate Dave Matthews, like nobody's business.
Bunch of
fucking pot smoking yuppies.
So I will fully admit, I do not like a whole lot of their music. But you know, there are a few of their songs that if it comes on the radio, you can't help it.
Your face. I will burn your face.
You can't help it. But again, that's part of that whole MTV thing. You know, that's how MTV and Napster, that all perpetuated so much of it. Yeah. Dave Matthews wouldn't be what it was without.
Oh, I think Dave Matthews had been big all along because he had people sitting in coffee shops drinking their $5 coffee saying, man, again, that band's pretty good. Same people like fucking Fish. Sorry. If I offended anybody, I'm very opinionated about a few things. Like, I try not to define myself by music, but there are a few bands that I just universally hate. Dave Matthews will always be that band that I just universally fucking hate. I hate you worse than I hate Rad.
You know, there's actually one section that I can hate worse than Dave Matthews of.
Well, apparently you don't hate Dave Matthews enough because you bob your head.
I do hate Dave Matthews to a point. To a point.
So what's the band that you hate the most?
Most bands out there have a song that you can like or dislike, doesn't matter. Where I draw the line is the pop genre as it's become.
Well, I'm just not a big pop fan to begin with.
Perpetuated by NSYNC, perpetuated by Backstreet Boys, Britney Spears, all of them. Hate it. Absolutely hate it. Nothing good comes out of it.
This is all bubblegum and fluff. I just get so bored with it. And like I said, I'm trying not to come off as a snob, but like, when I was way younger, I was defined by a lot of music, and part of it is my dad's fault. My dad, to this day, still has way more music than I do. I have probably 3,000 or 4,000 albums, and dad has probably 10,000 albums at this point.
Dad listens
to everything, like all sorts of like 70s prog bands to like 80s thrash to like all sorts and forms of rock and acoustic.
My dad's the same. You know, some of the earliest stuff I listened to was, you know, vinyls of Cash, Led Zeppelin, and Black Sabbath.
See, my dad was... I became a Sabbath fan because my dad hated Sabbath, and my dad hated Sabbath because he thought it was too easy. And he came from a big prog background, so dad was always listening to, like, Kansas and Yes and The Who and stuff like that.
Yeah, dad, too, and then Queen and, you know.
And you had bands like that, and you have bands that kind of copy that nowadays. Like, I was really big into modern prog music, like Mars Volta and stuff like that for a little while when it was around. I really liked Mars Volta. I really liked Mastodon, stuff like that. But, like, you know, it's... There's still... like, there's still some originality in music, don't get me wrong, but I think that some of it for me anymore, just because I'm an old fuddy-duddy, for lack of a better word, is just ingrained in some of the stuff that I just grew up liking, or the stuff that I kind of identified with as a younger adult. And well, not that I'm an old adult now, but I think I'm not quite middle-aged. So well,
there's not only that, it's the fact that the originality gets drowned out by the samesies.
Oh, I know.
You know?
Well, it's like I love electronic music, but it's only certain stuff. Like, I went to raves for 5 years. I was big into raving. And most of it is I was looking for, like, original DJs and stuff like that. Things that sounded different.
Yeah.
And I found a lot of really cool stuff when I was into that scene, but then I also found a lot of the really weird stuff that I still kind of like. I really like a project called Otiker. I really like Cobalt 60. You know, I really like Aphex Twin, obviously. I love Aphex Twin. But, you know, and then there's a whole stuff like the subgenres like Portishead back in the 90s. Yeah. I really loved them. Massive Attack and Tricky and stuff like that. Fucking DJ Accucrack, for crying out loud. But, yeah. You know, it's like I listened to all that stuff along with being a punk and metalhead. Like, my dad kind of grew me up to be. Yeah. You know, my dad hated punk rock, so I got into the Dead Kennedys, you know. And my dad really liked country for a little while, so I got into the Reverend Horton Heat. And that was, like, my answer to that. But Dad also liked Slayer, so, like, I didn't want to, like,
Slayer. Wait. That changes my opinion of your dad a little bit. He liked Slayer?
My first concert was a Slayer Megadeth concert when I was 6 years old.
Oh, dude. Okay.
So, and then my dad became a deacon, so... And then no more Slayer shows. But, you know, it's... Yeah, I grew up on that kind of stuff, too. So it was really hard to find something that Dad didn't like, and Dad didn't like punk rock, because, you know, you want to identify yourself as a teenager as not being just like your parents. But my dad had such a varied taste in music, so I decided I didn't like country, because Dad liked country, and that's how I got into rockabilly. So, you know, it's stuff like that. And then I finally got, you know, old enough so I could play music and play music at shows, and then got a show with the Rev way back when, like, 2000. We opened for them here, and then we opened for them 3 years in a row on their New Year's Eve shows down in Dallas. Nice. So, got a pretty good working relationship with them, and then my dad went and saw one of our shows in Dallas, and got to hang out with Jim Heath, and Dad became an instant fan, even though Jim Heath is a huge drunk. My dad is not, but, like, they had such a similar taste in music. Like, Jim Heath and my dad got along, and I was like, damn it, I can't even rebel now as an early adult because Dad gets along with Jim Heath. So, I had an apartment in downtown Dallas on top of a sushi restaurant. And I was kind of living there with my girlfriend and then going to school here at the same time. So, I'd drive for half a week down to Stillwater. And the other half of the week, go down to Dallas, which is about a five-hour difference.
Oh.
So, I had a little Ford Escort. I had a Ford Escort that I put 50,000 miles on inside of 2 years. So, I was driving like crazy. I'm playing shows between here, Dallas, and Fayetteville, and Kansas City, and Lawrence. So, like, it was a whole... That was a whole period of my life where I didn't game it.
Wait. Kansas City and Lawrence, I get. Fayetteville? Really?
Fayetteville has a hopping bar scene. Now, granted, I haven't been there in a few years, but me and Trent went there 6 or 7 years ago. Go visit an old friend and have some fun, and... We bar hopped in like 4 different bars, and they all had a different show going on a Thursday night, and they were all different. We went to 2 different punk shows, and we went to a metal show, and we went to like an industrial show, all in these little bars. And it's like Brookside, but times 5. So, so like this, or like compare it to Dallas, like a Deep Elm, and they had an area that big in Fayetteville that is nothing but college age people going to shows and whatnot. All people in their 20s and early 30s that were all going to these different shows at all these different bars. And all of them were within walking distance or a short drive. And I was really impressed.
That surprises me a little bit.
Yeah. Not Fayetteville, Little Rock, I think. Little Rock, yeah.
Are you sure it was Little Rock?
It's one of the two. They're so close together. Who knows? It's been a minute.
Because my brother's in music and, like, Little Rock's been dead for them.
Well, then maybe it's Fayetteville. But I could ask my friend again. I just don't feel like trying to Facebook message her right now to try to figure out what town she lives in again. But anyways, long story short, like, I don't know. I think music's going a different direction. I remember me and Trent and Holly went to a Faint show last Wednesday night, and it was like last time I saw them, they're up the Canes, and there's like 1,000+ people, etc. Pretty packed show. Well, we buy these tickets and we got basically their balcony, and we got there, there were like 6 people there, and then the show started playing, and there was this band called, I can't remember, Secret Post, and then there was another band, I can't remember what they're called, and there was another band called Rentar. Rentar was actually this weird progressive kind of salsa / electronic / jam band. Who knows? They were pretty decent. And there was a Faint. By the Faint, time the Faint was playing, I bet there was like 150 people there. But 150 people, which was just fucking nuts. Like, we're up in the balcony. I was like, we could have gone downstairs. Not that big a deal. We had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Got some cool shots while I was there. But, yeah, it was so different seeing a band that not even that long ago was a fairly decent-sized small show. And like the pictures I have, because of where I was at, make it look like there's a big crowd. There's really not. I've played a ton of shows that were bigger than this, and I was not nearly as well known as them. So, yeah, so if you see what I mean, that makes it look like it's a lot bigger show. But if you go like double that crowd back, that's not anybody else.
I started saying that's because that's all right on top of the stage.
Yeah, because we basically were right on top of the stage.
But, you know, this can wrap around to NIMP's response, and that is, Japanese RPGs had their day. But, so far, unless you have any recommendations of some that we just haven't seen, you know, they're kind of samesies now.
Like I said, I mean, I know that the way those go, I mean, there's Demon Saga or Devil Saga or whatever that is.
Yeah.
That I know John really likes. I should ask John and see what he recommends. Because he's really big into a lot of the JRPGs, but I just haven't had any that caught my eye, and maybe it's just the art style, but I want to see something a little bit different. And if I find something a little bit different, then I'll probably jump right into it. Because I could use a breath of fresh air from everything else I'm playing right now, too.
Yeah. But at the same time, unless it's a new Zelda or, you know, a Final Fantasy with a good story to it, it's going to take a lot to get me into it.
Yeah.
A whole lot. So, yeah, that's where it stands. So, I think with that, we'll go ahead and take a break. Try to organize a little bit of news in this ramp up to E3 and come up with a new question.
All right. We will stay. We'll see you guys
in a minute. And that was the break. Pretty short, actually. Fairly organized. Watched a little bit of Don't Starve video.
Yeah, what'd you think?
That it is, like, creepy weird. Like, kindergartner creepy.
Yeah, it is kind of weird. The art style's definitely different.
But it looks, I can see it works for the gameplay.
It's just something different. That's all it really is.
But, yeah. That's definitely that. All I got to do is get my laptop running efficiently and not overheat.
Well, it used to run on fucking Google Play through a browser, so, I mean, it'll run on pretty much anything.
Yeah, that's true. I could probably just pick that up on my wife's laptop and run it. But, it definitely looks worth a try. I can see how it can be frustrating, though.
It can become hugely frustrating until you learn the secrets. And really, my secrets for anybody playing it to get into it is find an area where you're close enough to grab poop, where you're close enough to either farm rabbits for their food, or find a bunch of plants to where you can farm for berries, or find a place with either beefalo or pigs. The reason you want the beefalo or the pigs is so that you can survive the attacks. The attacks get more frequent. And the other thing I learned after playing it for a really long time was set up multiple camps. Have a main camp, but know that because you can only go so far, that it's good to be able to kind of free range, free roam a little bit. You don't want to overstock an area, like you don't want to have like 13 chests full of way too much shit.
Yeah.
But your main camp can be fairly big, and you can have little outposts, and I suggest making the big campfire. Because a big campfire, you can just add fuel to it. It's not nearly as inefficient. It's more expensive to set up, but after that, you just add fuel to it, and then it makes flame. So you could set up a couple of areas with that, with like maybe one storage chest if you have a little bit too much stuff to keep foraging. But yeah, set up camps in like a big circle on the map, because the map's fairly big, but not infinite.
Yeah.
So if you do that, that'll give you plenty of range to roam. You want to explore, open that map up so you know what's going on, and spend like your first 5 or 6 days kind of prepping for what's to come. And then by like day 10, when the first night of the hounds comes, or day 8, you got an area where you can be protected by the pigs or the beefalo against the hounds. And then after that, it's just farming up all the food you can, replanting bushes and stuff to get close to your camp, and then not chopping down too many trees and not killing too many rabbits so you don't get the bosses to spawn. But bosses will spawn anyway.
Yeah.
Like I said, you're going to get a deer clops, or you'll get this weird thing that I got that was like a cross between a dodo bird and like an eagle or something. And she laid this big egg that spawned like 5 smaller versions of him, and they fucking almost destroyed me. So only way I survived again was Marvel suit and then taking on one by one with my boomerang and my spear. But yeah, just that open world gameplay is fucking weird and fun and hugely frustrating the first couple of times you go through. And I recommend playing with Wilson for a long time, because those other characters are definitely more advanced. Anyways, that's my take on Don't Starve. I like that game.
Yeah, I could get into it. But with that, did want to go ahead and highlight real quick what's going to be coming free this month to PlayStation Plus members.
And I'll follow up with the games with gold.
You're going to get Stick It to the Man on PS4, which looks kind of like a weird puzzle adventure game. Very, very hilarious looking animation, but it might be worth a check out. And then on PS3, you got The Puppeteer, PS 2014, and Skullgirls Encore, and then you have Limbo and Surge Deluxe coming out on the Vita.
That's fair. With Games of Gold, between May 1st and May 16th, you can get Dust and Elysian Tale, and then the 16th through the end of March, or May, you're going to get Saints Row the Third. So, mix up on this has been alright. They haven't been doing too bad. I think Dust is a good choice. I haven't played that yet. I think I will pick that up.
And it's a step up going with Saints Row the Third. A little bit of a step up there. I will definitely give Saints Row Third a try.
You should. That game is amazing.
Dust is excellent, though.
I haven't played it yet. So, I guess we plan that. Other things, kind of speaking of Xbox, there is a Halo show in the works.
Yes.
There's been some leaked news, and I won't even really call it news because I have no idea, because it still seems like rumor. But the idea was to get Steven Spielberg involved with Halo, and they were going to do a TV show with timed events, timed to gameplay.
Yep.
At least that's kind of what it's rumored to be, and it's going to be on Showtime and then release like a week later on Xbox. And I guess there's also rumored that Xbox is going to have their own TV shows, kind of like Netflix does.
Yes.
Which is kind of an interesting thing to do. So we'll see kind of what happens. I mean, if you remember, The Guild was on Xbox Live for a long time.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how we found out about that, which actually ended up being pretty decent. What else do you got, McNulty?
Got the reveal trailer for the new Last of Us DLC, Reclaimed Territories. Come out yesterday. What was it? Blizzard's evidently working on their new next gen game. More details to come later. They're kind of just laying out the rumor mill a little bit here and there.
It seems like
different people pick up on this stuff. Who are like, oh, so-and-so's has a job posting, and they have different details for what they want. And yeah. they have concept artists, lead technical artists, 3D character artists, 3D weapons artists, 3D character animator, environmental artists, lead 3D character artists, lead producer, lead designer, senior art manager. That could be any kind of action game.
Yeah.
But, yeah, even the stuff that's in here sounds like it could even be the last StarCraft thing. Who freaking knows? It could be a new IP. It could just be them recruiting more people for the Protoss installment of StarCraft 2. I'm not going to put any stock into it until I know more. We'll say that Heroes of the Storm, though, is not bad. So I'll be playing yeah. probably a little more of that this week if Matt gets off his ass and lets me play with him. But anyways, keep going. I'm sorry.
Well, you know, you shouldn't rely on people like Matt. No, I'm kidding, Matt. Love you, dude. Love you. Dust 514 coming to PC. Project Legion is working on that right now. Other than that, just a whole lot of rumor mill that just really can't be confirmed. Everybody's kind of trying to gear up their E3 talks, but they're not really throwing much of anything out there for actual fact. Well, let's put it that way.
And we're really not going to know much until like 2 weeks before, and we'll get the rumor mills really start to get started, and then we'll watch it, and then there'll be like a few things that don't ever really happen.
Yeah. So we'll see that. Should start seeing a little bit more coming out of Watch Dogs finally.
And you know that comes out this month.
June, I thought.
Double check it. I had somebody tell me earlier today that it comes out this month.
No, I think it got pushed back again.
We better find that out. That's probably been the biggest, in a way, letdown.
Oh, no. I am sorry. Yeah, it is May 27th.
Oh, wow. That's coming up soon.
Yes, it is. With still not a whole lot out there other than Ubisoft apologizing over and over again for the delays. But you know what? I don't mind the delays as long as you provide me a quality game. I'm cool with it.
No, Wasteland's in the last stages of being released. So there is that. Wasteland 2. I was actually trying to see if there was any other updates, and I haven't seen anything. I'd look to see if there's another update soon, but yeah, the last update was a month ago.
And, you know, then the other piece was Activision is proving just how hard they're really trying to lean on their Call of Duty franchise with their new release trailer showing Kevin Spacey.
Yeah.
I don't know what to think of it. I think they're trying way too hard. But the thing I am going to be curious for is Sledgehammer is doing this game completely versus just working on the multiplayer. And they've been the ones who've done the multiplayer on the last three Call of Duties. So it'll be interesting to see what they do with the whole game. What the campaign's like and things like that. So.
Well, let's say there's not really much more going on with anything else, is there? That we haven't touched on?
I was trying to look and see, since we were here last week. No, the only other thing I can see is that indie titles announced for PS4 and PS Vita.
Yeah.
They'll be coming out fairly soon. Nidhogg.
Yeah, I've heard of that fencing game.
Coming. Spelunky will be coming to the PS4 with full 1080 up res. Chasm. Skulls of the Shogun. That one seemed like fun.
You looking through new releases for this month?
No, just that last piece of news. Looks like, other than that, there are some indie titles that I could give or take. It's kind of like It's kind of becoming what Microsoft's in the marketplace looked like a couple of years ago. So.
Well, do we want to get to our question for this week then?
Yes, sir. Bring it around.
What was our question for this week, Jason?
Really? You said you had a whole lead into this. If you had the opportunity to hang with Gary Busey, would you? And what would you do?
Hell fucking yeah, I would. You know, I've had time to ponder this, and there have been several things I've thought about doing them, and they are all fucking illegal, and I'm not going to say them on the show. But to say that I got drunk, like, I figured that I'd end up, like, do you ever watch, well, did I ever show you Legit?
Yes.
So there's this new episode, and one of the other characters is kind of a perpetual drunk, and he's always kind of fighting for custody with his kid. He goes on a bender, he gets in a fight with his ex-wife and goes on a bender, and he ends up waking up in his underwear on the beach on a lawn chair. And I kind of feel like that if I went and partied with Gary Busey, I would go to such epic proportions of partying with him that I'd probably forget everything that happened. I'd want to take a lot of pictures just so I'd know what happened the day after. But it would be the fact that I hung out with the man of the grill.
The fact there that you say you're going to lean on pictures when it's probably not going to get much for Gary Busey to get you drunk enough to forget the camera.
Right. Well, and I think the reason it's brought up is he's in town fairly often. He went to Webster High School. So
he's in Tulsa quite frequently.
I ran into his son a handful of times at one of the bars here in town called Kaz's.
Yeah.
Jake's all around town all the time, but the idea that it could happen is fairly good for me.
Yeah.
Knowing a lot of, there's a lot of, this. It's a big small town.
Yes, it is.
And it would not take a lot to just run into him and get into some really epic, crazy shit.
Yeah. Well, that's like, you know, used to run into Garth Brooks just running around the area before he started all the Vegas shows, you know?
The Vegas shows.
He douchebag sold out.
Yeah, I think what I'd want to do is I think I'd want to go party crashing with Gary Busey. I think I'd find out, I would go to like Midtown Tulsa where like TU is, and I'd cruise a lot of the frat houses. And I just crash parties with Gary Busey. That's what happens. Like, people are like, that guy looks kind of familiar. Is that fucking Gary Busey? Yeah, it's fucking Gary Busey.
Somehow, I see some of Gary Busey's old addictions haunting the both of you throughout that whole stint.
As long as I didn't die, I would love to say that I live to tell the tale. Not gonna lie.
You mean kind of like in Ted, where they finally meet what's-his-face, who was Flash Gordon?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like it would be a night like that. Like, not that I have a huge amount of respect for the man. It's just he's iconic.
He is. He's iconically crazy. He's fucking crazy.
Crazy as shit, yeah.
You know, I've actually heard, and, you know, I'm like you. I've ran into Jake a few times when I was bar hopping. And, you know, it always seems like Jake's cool. And it always seems like if he actually hung around his dad, he might turn into a bit of an ass. I don't know. Don't know. But it would definitely be an interesting night, no matter what you did.
Well, I feel like he'd just be bored enough to just come up with something off the rails.
And I
feel like that would be worth it on its own.
Oh, yeah.
So, guys.
Dude's off his rocker anyway.
If you're listening, well, obviously you're listening, but you should write us an email or find us on Facebook or Twitter.
Yes, please.
And give us a response to this question.
Because
we feel like this question is worth it, and we want to see what kind of crazy tale you can come up with.
Yes. Yes. Even though, you know, I'm totally going to top out on this one and say, Yeah, no, there's no way. I don't think I could survive a night with Gary Busey anymore. But yes, we want to see your responses. We want to see how sick and twisted our listeners are.
Fair enough. Well, with that, do we want to go ahead and talk about new releases?
Yeah, let's get into it. So,
I got a few things. So, one of the games I'm going to pick up later this week, and I'll talk about it, is Bound by Flame. Comes out on PS4, PS3, PC, and 360. We have Borderlands 2 coming out on the 13th on Vita. We have Drakengard 3 coming out on PS3 on May 20th. We have Wolfenstein The New Order coming out on PC, Xbox One, PS4, PS3, and 360. We have Transistor, the makers of Bastion, coming out on PS4 and PC on the 20th. And then on the 27th, we have Watch Dogs coming out on all systems, except for Vita, except for handhelds. Sly Cooper Collection coming out on Vita. And Mario Kart 8 coming out on the Wii U on the 30th.
And for some of those hardcore stickets, because I know they're out there, Ace Combat Infinity comes out on 27th on the PS3 network.
Oh yeah, I didn't even really run it. And last but not least, it's kind of had a lot of hype. I say kind of, as in a lot of hype for MMO people. WildStar comes out on June 3rd. Yes. I don't know if I can play yet another MMO if I'm already playing what I got. So, that being said, that's all the releases. What else we got? Is that it?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. We need more news.
Yep, and we'll have more people next week. We may have Holly, and we should have Rusty.
Yes, which that combo is always entertaining.
Yes, it is. So find us on the internet at tiltcast.com. Find us at facebook.com/tiltcast, twitter.com/tiltcast. Search on iTunes and Stitcher by using the name Tiltcast. Email us at teabag@tiltcast.com. And then find friends of the show. You have For the Love of Gaming, you have Ailsports Podcast, you have thecarouselpodcast.com, noquarters.net, bmfcast.com, and that video game podcast, tvgp.tv. They do good things.
And remember, Justin's still kind of building more content for Twitch.
Yeah. It's just twitch.com/tiltcast, actually. If you subscribe to the Twitter feed, that's where I post it. Yeah. That'll come up on your phone. It's easy to see. You're like, hey, he's twitching again. So I've been twitching a lot more often, but I'll do it a little bit more. Maybe I'll do Heroes of the Storm again.
Yeah.
So stay tuned. I'll throw more shit up on there when I'm PC gaming.
Yeah. And like I said, hopefully next week we're back with a little less music talk, a little bit more game talk.
Yeah, we'll have more people
get into it more. So, all right, guys, that's the show for this week. Please respond to the question. We think it's hilarious.
We do.
It needs responses. And with that, we'll see you next week.
Later, guys.